Today's reading is taken from Malachi chapter 2, verses 10 to 16, found on page 960 of the Church Bibles. Breaking covenant through divorce. Do we not all have one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our ancestors by being unfaithful to one another? Judah has been unfaithful. A detestable thing has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah has desecrated the sanctuary the Lord loves by marrying women who worship a foreign god. As for the man who does this, whoever he may be, may the Lord remove him from the tents of Jacob, even though he brings an offering to the Lord Almighty. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer looks with favor on your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask why? It is because the Lord is the witness between you and the wife of your youth. You have been unfaithful to her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel, does violence to the one he should protect, says the Lord Almighty. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I'm going to try and just move this here. Oh, great, thank you. Okay, should we just gonna pray before we start? Father God, as we listen to your word this morning and we listen to the talk prior, you hear it and we listen to it and we act on it. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Morning, it's been lovely. Okay.
Sorry while I undress.
Okay, is that okay? Right, we'll start again, shall we? Thank you. Okay. Well, Malachi, what a fantastic passage. It's one of those passages you can probably just read in an afternoon and then you're going to be perplexed about it and carry on thinking and mulling it over for the rest of the weekend, potentially the rest of your life. It has everything. But when I started writing this sermon, the thing that amazed me, the thing that struck home first was Malachi wasn't an actual person. What Malachi actually means is messenger. The Old Testament refers to Malachi as messages all the way through, never as an individual person. And when we think of Malachi, what a message that is. We know at this time that the people have been returning to Jerusalem over the last 100 years, but it wasn't a great place to be at the time. The walls had been rebuilt, but there was nothing really there. It was deserted. It was unsafe. There was no real infrastructure. Food, farming, all of that was just starting again. It was really limited. And as a result, the people who had returned were becoming impatient. They were becoming increasingly disappointed, disillusioned and despairing of this wonderful city that they once lived in, or their ancestors once lived in, was now virtually destroyed. Things were slowly changing, but it was taking much longer than anticipated. And we know from our own culture that when things don't go right, when things don't go the way that we want them to go, we kind of have similar feelings of frustration and disappointment. But I think we also look, when that happens, to blame. You often heard that we live in a blame culture. And in this case, at this time in Jerusalem, there was no formal government to blame. The only thing they did have that they could use to blame was God. And that's, of course, what they chose to do. Gone were the days of loving God and worshipping him in a really loving, peaceful way. It had become a formality, something they did, not something which they chose to do. In other words, their faith, their worship of God, became a tick-box exercise. And this is where we pick it up in Malachi. And as we can see from verse 10, when we read that, it's very clear to me that there are two sets of relationships. There's our relationship with God and our relationship with others. But when you read and you look at verse 10, the word for me that really stuck out more than anything was the word covenant. Now, the Bible is full of covenants, God's covenant with his people. But you see, the people had got to this stage where they were regularly breaking that covenant. They were regularly breaking their agreement with God. And we mustn't forget, this covenant came from God, and they were repeatedly breaking it. But when we reflect on that, and we think about that in our own lives, do we break our covenant with God? Do we break that agreement that we have as Christians with God? It can be done in a variety of ways. Karis and I, we were talking when I was looking at this passage, what are the things, what is our agreement with God? What are the important things for us? We found obedience. We thought of love. We thought of faithfulness. There are many, many more that you could think of, and it's personal to you as individuals, is what you think your agreement, what your covenant with God is. And whether you break that, because we all do. And we have to think about how we use God and this covenant, in our own lives. I found this slide, and it's from Romans 12, 9 to 10. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other in a genuine affection and take delight in honouring each other. Now that's from the New Living Translation. See, the one thing that strikes me about these verses is very simple. How much we forget to be faithful to each other. How do we fail? Why do we fail to look after each other? And by breaking these things, by not looking after one another, by not being faithful to one another, in fact, we are breaking our covenant with God. And upon reflection, do we do that now? Do we do that within our own society? And what I mean by this is really quite simple. Do we know a neighbour? Do we know a friend? Do we know a work colleague that is in a spot of bother? That are having a tough time, whether that's just in life in general or anything. And the question I'd like to ask us this morning is, what do we do about that? As Christians, what do we do? Are you ready to walk away and not help? Or are you actually, you are ready to get in there and help, to support that person. Be the person that God would expect and want us to be. You see, I think it's really important that as individuals, we reflect on this. Because you see, if we want a great relationship with God, we have to start demonstrating that in our own lives. And that can be done really simply. Firstly, putting yourself in that position where you can help. Taking your time and energies to do that. It's something that we need to question in our own lives. And like I said, this could be done anywhere. This can be done within your own home, within your own community, your own work. The point is, we have a go. The point is, we have a go. An example, and now here's your chance. I'm assuming most of you are in small groups, home groups, cell groups. I wonder as a group whether you could do something for your local community in some way. You don't have to do it as individuals. Do you know a charity? Do you know an individual? Do you know an organisation that would benefit from help? It doesn't have to be a regular, it could be a one-off. It's about having a go. It's about demonstrating God's love. It's about building that relationship. It's about enhancing not only your own lives, but enhancing the lives of other people. And as we work through Malachi, we get this real picture of faithfulness or, as we know, unfaithfulness. The main concerns for the Jews as they were returning to Jerusalem at that time was they were returning and everything was totally disorganized. What on earth is going wrong, they would ask. They could see people being taken advantage of. They could see people suffering. Violence was a commonplace. So why not ask, where does my faith fit into all of this? And when we get to the next verse of 13 and 14, we get real two striking verses here. Firstly, God's people are only going to him when they need something or if something is going wrong. But at this particular point, God has said enough. God has had enough of them only using him for the things when things go wrong and not being faithful and true. He had enough so much that he did not speak to them again for another 400 years. And I wonder how many of us do that. How many of us take our faith for granted? How many of us only ever come to God where something's gone pear-shaped in your life? We should be worshipping our Father, being very faithful to him in good times and in bad. We have to have faith in God. We have to be able to build up that long-term and enduring relationship. It's up to us to have God in all aspects of our lives. Our relationship with God is a two-way process. It's not just about him giving things to us. We have to give things to him. Now, I'm no boxing fan, but some people may know this chap, Manny Pacquiao. I understand he was quite handy. He said this, "I want to let the people know that there is a God who can raise someone from nothing into something. And that's me. I came from nothing and I owe everything to God. He gave me this blessing. It's all credit to the Lord." As we look at verse 14, we see that God uses marriage, an example, how we are unfaithful to our wives or unfaithful to her, the wife of our marriage covenant. But what about it if we look at it another way? What about it if we see this verse as a metaphor for God. How do we see it? How do we feel if we suddenly realise that actually wife is in fact God? So if we rejig verse 14 as an example of this, we have been unfaithful to God despite him being our life partner and the covenant that we have made with him. Now we may have many different views of how we are being unfaithful to God. That's an individual and personal thing. But the important thing is we recognise that. We recognise that we're being unfaithful to God and we make it right. As we move into verse 15, it talks about has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring, us. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. When we think about God's faithfulness, it is clear throughout the Bible that he's proved his faithfulness to us many, many times. Every covenant he made, he kept. Every promise or foretelling has or will come true. Testimony after testimony of God's faithfulness is certainly found throughout the Bible. It is still given in testimonies by people today. We read and we see that God is faithful. His word is true. In Hebrews 6, verse 18, it says, God cannot lie, nor can he break an unconditional promise that he says will fulfill. So where does the responsibility of this faithfulness lie? It lies with us. It lies with us as individuals. If we do not maintain or cultivate or develop our faithfulness with God, then it will never develop. It will never improve. And that's what's so important with our love and our faith and our relationship. It's with God. I think as individuals, I think one of the downsides to really stepping out for God is that sense of fear of failure. Now, I know personally, I don't like failing. In fact, I hate it. I just don't have this ability sometimes to be able to go, oh, I failed, I think I'm going to move on. I dwell on it. I mull it over for days, for weeks sometimes. And it's a real ordeal sometimes to step away from that, take a step back. And I think that's largely due to when we fail, there is this link, like we've done something wrong. And when we do something wrong, the way our society works is that we get punished for it. There's also a sense of embarrassment. There's also a sense of humiliation. But when we think of God, and we think of God within our own lives, God is not bothered that we fail. What God is bothered about is when we fail, we get back up and we start again. We need to use failure as a way of learning, as a way of moving forward. Winston Churchill said this, success is the ability to go from one failure to another without the loss of enthusiasm. I really struggle with that sometimes, I think. Enthusiasm quite easily goes out the window. My wife and I, we went recently on a windsurfing excursion. Now, I've never done windsurfing before in my life. Two of my friends came with us as well. They thought it was most hilarious too. Because you see, I spent most of my time sailing along, every 2 feet falling in, splat. And this went on for about an hour. In the meantime, my wife was zipping along, never a problem. The point is, you have to get up. You have to start again. Otherwise, I would have got freezing cold. But ultimately, when we fail, we have two options. First option is to give up and say, that's it, I've had enough, I'm walking away. The second option, and the best option, is to turn and get on with it and not give up. As it says in Psalm 73, I found this verse, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. What a lovely verse. If there's one thing you can remember today from this talk, is that verse. Our strength comes from God. We don't have to do this on our own. God is not expecting us to do it on his own, our own. Or there's that. Every time since I have a problem with God, I've been chilling. It's very simple. We don't have to do it ourselves. We can give it to God and take a step back. So when we think about it, we think we have an agreement with God. He wants us to be fulfilled Christians, but also growing as Christians, but also growing other people that don't know him as Christians. We need to remain loyal to him. You see, God is faithful that anyone who seeks him and will find him. Faith is a gift. But it's even a gift must be opened to be enjoyed. As we implement our faith and we begin to realise more and more about God's faithfulness in us, and that is about developing that relationship with God. We need to go working, continue to work within our relationship, not only with each other, but with God. And that is what Jesus said when he said the most important commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your love and your neighbour as yourself. It's all in Malachi. Just going to finish up with a short video. And this video really, well, it's quite obvious. It just speaks to us that God is never really far behind us. Is that okay? Shall we stand and let's just pray? Father God, as we learn more about you through relationships and faithfulness, Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit guides us in how we are faithful to each other. How we can rely on you and use your word, your guidance, and your love to be faithful to each other. And Father, as we learn to be more faithful to each other, encourage us to be more faithful to you. Father, we want to build that relationship with you. We want to be able to rely on you. Father, come with your Holy Spirit, Father, and just open those bits of our lives where we know we've fallen short when it comes to faith in you. Where we haven't done what you wanted us to do. Whether it's having faith in each other, having that faith in you, or actually not maintaining that relationship with you. Bring it to our minds. Show us where we failed, Lord, and let's just support her and love us to move on from that failure and put it right. We know, Lord, that you love us beyond all measure. Beyond amazing grace. And Father, just enable us to take that faith, our relationship with you, out of the church doors, into our communities, into our work, into our own lives. Not just to enhance us, but Father, to also bring your word and this amazing love to others who have never met you. Amen.